a Bible is useless without it being read. See, all 10 of the virgins, all 10 of the bridesmaids had a Bible, but only 5 of them were reading it. Half of them were not. The truth of the scripture is that the bridesmaids needed to be in the Word. They probably intended to be in the Word, but they weren't. Now, there is a critical companion to Bible reading. You know, if we just casually pick up the Bible and read it, like a newspaper, there is a lack of power there. It's more of an information read. But there is a powerful partner when it comes to Bible study, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit partners with our Bible reading and begins to do something in our hearts that... So just as the lamp requires oil to illuminate, so our Bible reading requires the Holy Spirit to illuminate our lives. Without oil, a lamp can be of no value. Without the Holy Spirit, our Bible reading is really more informational. The 5 foolish bridesmaids at the wedding were ill-prepared because they lacked the oil. They lacked the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 11 and 12 says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the," what? "Except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from" who? "Who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Spiritual things are spiritually discerned, right? We need the Holy Spirit to filter and open an understanding of the Word of God in order for it to have an impact. The Holy Spirit is the essential ingredient to our relationship with God. A casual examination of Scripture is of little value. But when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives every day, in a way, we are saying, "God, take control. Take charge of my being and who I am. Don't just give me information in the Word of God that's interesting. Lord, take charge of my life. Transform me." The Holy Spirit is the one who personalizes our time in the Word. Makes it a worshipful experience for us. Makes it transformational for our life. Makes it inspirational for where we are. Makes it instructive because we need to be instructed where we are. It is the Holy Spirit who intercedes with our prayers. Instead of us just praying, the Holy Spirit decodes our prayers and then communicates those prayers to God the Father. It is the Holy Spirit who is the helper, Jesus said, in all of our living. But if we are just readers of the Word, we are foolish. If we have the Bible on our nightstand, and there it stands or sits, we are foolish. If we are coming to Jesus and asking for His presence to transform us and to interpret His Word to us, then something's going to take place. It is only through the strength of the Spirit that great things happen. Without the Spirit of God, Christ's object lessons again, a knowledge of His Word is of no avail. The theory of truth unaccompanied by the Holy Spirit cannot quicken the soul or sanctify the heart. One may be familiar with the commands and promises of the Bible, but unless the Spirit of God sets the truth home, the character will not be transformed. Without the Spirit, men will not be able to distinguish truth from what? Error. And they will fail or fall under the masterful temptations of Satan. We human beings must make a decidedly determined decision to invite the living Spirit of Jesus into us. It's an invitation, right? We need to permit Christ to do a work, to mold us. We are the clay, God is the potter, right? We are supposed to be his vessel, but we need to intentionally invite him to come in and rearrange us, to possess us. The foolish Christian has a form of godliness, dismisses their weaknesses, makes excuses for generational sins, perhaps minimizes blind spots, and puts off things in their character that need to change. But the sober Christian, the wise one, says, Holy Spirit, convict me and empower me to overcome the things of my life. This is a sobering truth. Not all Christians will be in the kingdom of heaven. And something even more sobering, not all Adventists will be ready when Jesus comes. Matthew 25, verses 6 through 9. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go, rather, to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Friends, this is a very startling truth that's being revealed here, and that is our spiritual journey is not transferable. We are not right with Christ based on our associations. Just because I'm a member of the Pleasant Hill Seventh-day Adventist Church does not mean that I am ready to be saved when Christ comes. Just because I'm married to a godly spouse does not make me ready for Christ. Just because you might hear a great teaching or a so-so one from your pastor or a great teaching from the chaplain or the Sabbath school teacher does not mean that you are ready for Jesus to come. Just because I'm a pastor does not make me ready for Jesus to come. We are not saved by association. We're not saved by our connectedness that way. We are saved when we individually take responsibility for our walk with Jesus. You know, kids, your parents are taking you to church. Teens, your parents bring you, but ultimately it's your choice to receive Christ and to spend time with him. So, then what does that mean? The only way we are saved is when we intentionally say, yes, Jesus, I accept you into my life. Yes, I accept your living presence in me. And yes, I give you full permission to change me, to grow me, to lead me, to guide me. When you do that, look out. And many of you have. That's why you're here. When we live under the Spirit's power, we don't fear the great wedding that's coming. We look forward to it. In fact, in the meantime, we want to be part of the wedding party, helping others be invited to it. In fact, when we live under the Spirit's power, we have the fruit of the Spirit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When we live under the Spirit, we have the Spirit of wisdom so that we don't make crazy mistakes, so that we're not deceived by the devil. When we have the Spirit of glory, we're trying to lift up Jesus, not ourselves. When we have the Spirit of truth, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we have the Spirit of gifts, we want to serve God with our talents and abilities. When we have the Spirit of Jesus, we are like Jesus. But it all comes from the Holy Spirit. The oil. Give me more oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives us life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So this is not about trying harder. This is about asking more. Jesus, more in me. Jesus, your presence, more transforming me. Jesus, more of you growing me. On the other hand, there are the foolish Christians who are going through the motions. Ezekiel 33, verse 31 says, so they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Now, having been raised in the church, I definitely was in the foolish camp, relying upon my knowledge of doctrine or relying on the awareness of Jesus coming soon or the fact that I knew some of the Bible stories, yeah. But apparently, knowledge is not being wise. Knowledge gives us a foundation for who Jesus is, but a wise bridesmaid has a relationship with Christ, has an intimacy, and says, Lord Jesus, you know what I did yesterday. You know how weak I was there. Lord Jesus, please take that. Take that. I don't like it. Lord, I know this is an issue with my life, whatever it is. Lord, I don't have a lot of motivation and care for people who don't know you. I really don't. Lord, I'm going to give this to you. Lord, you know what? I care more about my time than anything else. I don't really have time to help other people. It's not convenient. Whatever it is that you know that is lacking. Lord, there's this addiction. Lord, there is this thing. Jesus says, hey, I give it to you. I will set you free. Do you really want to be set free? Do you really want to be free from the law of sin and death? The Holy Spirit is inviting you and me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Romans 25, 10 through 13. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. The point of the parable is not to perfectly time our relationship with Christ to climax at the very point when Jesus returns, because that's impossible. No one knows when. The point is to be a wise bridesmaid, to have the oil, to have the Holy Spirit transforming your character and mine. What is our character anyway? We hear about character. We hear about God changing our character. What is the character? It's our temperament. It's our personality. It's our values. It's our motives. It's how we view people. That's all our character. And of course, they say that character is revealed in a time of crisis, and character is revealed at a time of opportunity. And character speaks to our motives, why we do things. And character is who we really are when nobody's looking. But Jesus says, hey, don't worry about trying to get the character. I'll take care of it. Just give me you. Have a willing heart to let me transform who you are. And then, beautiful things will be seen in you. On the other hand, how easy it is to be a foolish bridesmaid that says, hey, you know what, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty ready. I'm pretty fine. Corrie Ten Boom, you've heard of her. You know that she was a Dutch Christian, and she had a heart with her family to save those Nazi, those Jewish people who are being captured by the Nazis. And so she and her family would harbor them and try to hide them and give them safe haven. But Corrie had a concern with her perspective on God. She wondered if she would be faithful to him or if she would, in fact, fall when the going got tough. She wondered if her walk with God was real and strong. And she wondered if she was a wise bridesmaid. And so she asked her father. Now she's a teenager. She asked her father, Dad, how do I know that I will stand strong should the world fall? How will I know if I will not turn my back on Jesus? How will I know if he is really in me? How will I know that he'll give me the strength? The wise father said, Daughter, let me ask you a question. When you go on a train ride from Harlem to Amsterdam, when do I give you the money, the fare for that? 3 weeks in advance? No, Daddy, you give it to me just before I get on the train. That's right. And so it is with you, daughter. See, today, daughter, you don't need to have the gift of martyrdom because today you are alive and well. Today you're not being called to suffer in a particular way, but when you do, when you are and you will be, that's when the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you the strength and the power. That's when the Holy Spirit will convict you to do what you need to do and go the way you need to go. And as the story goes, Corrie remembered her father's words. And she was imprisoned in a concentration camp, but she remembered what her father said. And indeed, the Lord gave her the strength, the Spirit of God. Friends, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know if you're sensing that you need more fuel, more oil in your lamp. I know I do. And if that's the case, there is one who's willing to pour and fill you up if you just ask him. He is a living God. He loves you more than you can imagine. He has plans for you. He wants to live forever with you. All we have to do is invite him in with an open heart, and he will make us beautiful. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. The Lord, you gave us this parable, that you gave us a wake-up call. You gave me a wake-up call, Lord, that just because I call myself a Christian doesn't mean that I am a wise one. Lord, we need more of your Spirit. More of your Spirit in our lives individually. More of your Spirit in our church collectively. More of your Spirit, Lord, so that we can do things for you. So that we can be who you are in this community. So that we can truly love this community and help this community come to know you. Lord Jesus, I pray a blessing. I pray for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us, to fall upon each one of us individually, to draw us to you more and more, that we can be wise bridesmaids. Because, Lord, we know you are coming soon. We love you, Lord. It's our prayer in Jesus' name.